Welcome to The Afflicted and Affected. My name is Chris Schroeder, and it is the purpose of this webcast to host prominent guests from the fields of addictive illness treatment and other personalities involved in recovery processes. It will be our goal to educate both the professional and non-professional in the most modern and effective treatment methods and talk about other resources that are available for the recovery community. Our guest tonight is Laura C. Laura is a musician who works in the recovery music industry. Laura, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Chris. I'm honored.
Tell me a little bit about how all this happened in your life.
Well, it was really an organic process. I never set out to be a recovery music artist. I got sober 2.5, almost 3 years ago. I woke up out of a blackout, really. I came to realizing I had driven with my kids in the car in a blackout, and I realized that I wasn't exactly mother of the year.
Yeah.
And that this was not a good thing, and I realized I needed help. And I, being a progressive disease, it had gotten to about 20 years where I had been using some substance to stay numb every day, except for the time that I was pregnant with my two young children, and they were about 3 and 5 at the time. And I got help that very day. I went to my first 12-step program, and as I began to get sober, it just kind of took on a life of its own. You know how it is where emotions start coming to you to the surface for the first time, and being numb for 20 years, this was terrifying to me. And frankly, it's still terrifying to me. I still don't like emotions.
It can be pretty rough in the first weeks or months.
Well, absolutely, and no one really prepared me for that, because I've been told that when you start using, you stop growing. So therefore, I had the emotional capacity and the emotional mentality of like a 19-year-old. So I really wasn't prepared for so many things in new sobriety. And, you know, in my earlier days, I had had a moderate amount of success as a singer-songwriter. I'd had a publishing deal and a lot of music in film and TV, and a song on the soundtrack, a big-selling soundtrack and film soundtrack. And so, you know, music was obviously my gift and it was natural for me to write, but during the last 10 years of my life, I had lost my gift completely. I was so deep in my addiction, and music was the last thing on my mind. And in fact, we talk about our bottoms. I remember a morning sitting at about 10 a.m. drinking red wine out of a coffee cup, and I was hiding it from some plumber that was visiting.
Uh-huh.
And I remember looking at my daughter, who was playing, and she was probably 4 and about ready to go to kindergarten. I kept thinking, God, when is she going to go to kindergarten so that I can start drinking all day?
That's not a normal feeling for someone.
You think? And but that seemed so completely normal to me. And I was honestly just resentful of the fact that, you know, I couldn't just drink all day at this point, because, you know, we really, as addicts, I judged my life by its highs. And as far as I was concerned, you know, now that I had, you know, bought my first home, I, you know, had my first children, it's like all my highs were done. And I was really hopeless. But to skip ahead, the CD, my music, as I began to get sober, it just started coming back to me. That was really the only way that I knew how to channel emotions, and they just started pouring out, and I just began to write. And as my sponsor was guiding me through the steps, it just happened that each song that came out seemed to kind of correlate with a step that I was processing or experiencing in the 12-step of recovery. And lo and behold, I had this body of work that was really 12 songs, 12 steps. And I called it The Gift of Brokenness, and I've been sharing it with other people like me ever since.
You know, the step process is such an amazing process. This is the first time I think I've heard of someone actually putting that process to music, but it makes a lot of sense. I think there's a lot of awakening that goes on in the step process, and that awakening can be transferred into some kind of artistic expression. Whether it be painting or music, how did you find that process? Did you find it cathartic? Was it freeing for you to be involved in the music as well as in the step process?
Oh my gosh, music has always been therapeutic for me. It's always been therapy since I was a young child. This process was so cathartic for me because having so many problems dealing with emotions, music has. And it still is a safe place for me to put my emotions. And it becomes like an alternate universe where it is safe for me to experience things that I don't find comfortable in my normal life. So therefore, you know, in my normal life, I don't cry. I don't experience many emotions. But my voice is in music when I sing is extremely emotional, and my songs are extremely emotional. People are often quite taken aback when they hear me sing because it seems so kind of disconnected from like who I am when they meet me. And this process for me was completely transformational, which is what the recovery process is. It's meant to be transformational. The steps are meant to be transformational because we are going from one. We are going from one place in our life, from darkness into, hopefully, into light, which is recovery. And that's where I was. This is my musical journey. It literally takes the listener from darkness into light as I go from, literally, step one is a song called Pray For Me, which is, I literally write about driving in a blackout with my kids in the car. To step two, which is a song called Where Is the Gift, which is a song about me sitting in a meeting, in a 12-step meeting, completely resentful, like, okay, I gave it up, I did what you guys told me to, where is the gift in my brokenness? Where are these promises that you all are promising?
Why is everybody grateful?
Exactly. I did what everyone said to do. Now, where are the promises? And I'm not there yet. I'm only on step two, yet, you know, we want it all right then. We want immediate transformation, and we don't want to accept that it's a process. And I have a song called Let Go and Let God, you know. It's just each song relates to a different step. So.
I see the step process as we're walking around and we're asleep and we don't even know it. Our spirit is asleep, and we're like almost like we're almost like on automatic, and we start getting involved in the step process, and the step process kind of starts to take things. We start to unlearn some things, and some of the character defects get removed, and some of the guilt and the shame and the anxiety starts to disappear, and it starts to allow our spirit to awaken. So it really sounds like this musical document relates a lot to how you woke up spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I personally believe that, you know, the 12 steps relate to everybody. I personally believe that this is just a, you know, an outline for living. This is not just, the 12 steps are not just for addiction and not just for alcoholism, because those are just merely symptoms. In my opinion, that it's a spiritual void that we're trying to fill. And the reason I believe that is because when I do fill it with spirituality and with spiritual things, I'm completely satisfied on a deep soul level.
Yeah, you feel whole. I totally believe that myself.
And so therefore, if that is the answer to me, and if that is what truly fills me, then it must be a spiritual-shaped void that I'm trying to fill it, that I'm trying to fill. So therefore, you know, regardless of whether it's shopping, overworking, overspending, over whatever, alcohol, drugs, because I've tried to fill it, that same void, with so many different things. After it was alcohol, I got in a car accident, and then I struggled with Vicodin for a year, and I got to tell you, Vicodin made alcohol look like child's play. So nobody prepared me for that one.
Mm-hmm.
That was backing into a helicopter or into a propeller, you know. And so I've met other people who've just traded that addiction for food or for cigarettes or for coffee. So in my opinion, it's really not about the symptom. I mean, we could go to... You can name the group. We have them for everything.
Oh, yeah. There's over 200 12-step organizations out
exactly.
there, if you can imagine.
And the steps obviously apply to all of them. Therefore, this music, that's why on, you know, you're one of my Facebook friends. Mm-hmm. And am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I hide all my friends to protect their privacy. But I have this rather large social network situation, and what blows me away is that I have found that so many of my social network friends are not alcoholics or drug addicts. They are self-injurers. They are people dealing with depression. They are bipolar. They have all these other issues, yet they are responding to my music the same way that people with addiction are.
They're something that's broken in them.
Exactly. And that was a complete shock to me, because when I set out to do this, or when I put this together, it was literally just to document my journey so that I could use this for my healing. Because I got to tell you, Chris, I still need this. I don't listen to my own music for enjoyment.
Right.
I listen to my own music for therapy, because I still need to remind myself where I was and where I'm going.
That's absolutely true. You don't want to make the same mistakes of the past. That's for sure.
No.
I like what you were saying earlier. Carl Jung, the great psychiatrist, once said that every single person he treated, the ultimate therapy or the ultimate cure for every single person he ever treated would have been a direct connection and relationship with God.
Mm.
He was one of those people that were in the psychology field who mm-hmm. really believed that we were spiritual beings, and there were spiritual imperfections within us that we would try to fill with outside things.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is, it's an inside job.
Exactly. Well, the difficult struggle, and what this, you know, what my music deals with, and I deal really honestly with, you know, this is all not happy, you know, perky, send you out the door with a big smile on your face kind of music, because I deal with the struggle to live life on life terms and in a raw and honest way, because the truth is the steps ask us to go against everything that our instincts tell us is right and that the world basically tells us is right. You know, where surrender is strength. And that is what the steps tell us.
Absolutely.
And the world tells us the opposite. So, you know, it's very counterintuitive, and that's why it is difficult, because it's asking us to go against the core of our very nature, and that is why we fight it so much.
You know, another reason I think that we fight it is that it's very difficult to understand a spiritual experience intellectually.
Of course.
And sometimes prior to taking a step, we've got some perception of it that's really incorrect.
Yes.
And it's easy to tell ourselves, well, I'm different. I don't really need that. I won't really have to do that.
Yes.
And, you know, when we do that, we're usually wrong and we're going to pay a price.
Well, pride goeth before the fall. That is why it takes the fall for so many of us to end up in recovery. And I'm so grateful. That's why I called this the gift of brokenness, because my brokenness, it has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. I am so grateful that I had the opportunity to see how broken I am so that I am able to look up and I am able to accept my weakness and find strength from my weakness and find the gifts in my weakness and be able to give back, because I now find all my joy and fulfillment from giving back. And I know it sounds Pollyanna. I don't care, though, because that's how I stay sober, mm-hmm. which is step 12, which is really what my life's mission and vision has become, which is spreading the message, you know, giving back, and service.
And you're very, very active at it. You know, this CD, The Gift of Brokenness, is I see mention of it in a lot of different places on the internet. It's really getting around.
Oh well, you know, I'm just enjoy it. It all starts at home, and I'm very involved in my home group, and I'm involved in sharing with others on any level necessary. And it's all about, you know, starting right where you are. Be where you are. We can all just give back wherever we are. And whatever level it takes us to, that's really irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, I mean, the message, it's all about spreading the message. And I'll do that in any way possible.
So will I.
Exactly.
I spend a lot of my time doing that. You know, some of the things about recovery are one of the things that you were talking about is there's a line in the book Alcoholics Anonymous that says no matter how far down the scale you've gone, you'll find that your experience can benefit others.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another line in there that says that you can take your greatest failures and turn them into your greatest assets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, waking up that day, realizing that you were driving drunk with your children, you know, you'd had an accident. That on its surface would look like an absolutely horrible thing, and it's certainly not a good thing. But you find that sometimes those really, really bad experiences can motivate you onto a path in your life that you'll start to head in the other direction, and you'll start to move in a positive way. I had numerous terrible things happen to me back when I was drinking, and you know, today I see them as assets. I don't think I would have waltzed into a support group, you know, just because there was nothing on TV. I mean, I really needed to be hammered.
Mm-hmm.
And and by being hammered, that opened me up to being willing, and out of desperation, I was willing, and that's kind of what led me down this path. So we each have our tragedies, and we each have our successes, but the tragedies, you know, and the successes can sometimes be transferred. It's almost like as long as we stay on the spiritual path, most of our life experiences are going to end up being turned into positives one way or the other.
And some of the most powerful messages are when you allow God or your higher power to take your tragedies and combine them with your strengths, your gifts that you naturally have. So whatever, and your gift, you know, you're using your gift of communication and sharing with others combined with your darkest moments, and I'm using mine with music, and those are some of the most powerful stories of transformation and the most powerful examples of transformation and change is when he uses the gifts combined with the brokenness. And that's what I love to see, is when people share those two things together. And I love to encourage others. That's what I get so excited about. When I see others who say, you know, I'm a painter, or, you know, and I have this experience I went through, I'm like, well, let's see what we could do with that. Combine the two. How can you share with others? How can you, you know, combine your brokenness as a child and your pain you went through as a child with your art and help others and heal others? How can we do this? How can we combine the two and heal the world? I get so excited when I see, you know, of pairing up the gifts with what they've gone through and healing the world. That just really, really gets me excited.
How can we heal the world? And what is a better avocation than trying to do that?
Exactly. That's what we're here for.
Now, Laura, you're going down to the Music Fest in the Keys. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I am. I'm excited. I'm going to be doing three different shows at the 12-Step Music Fest, which is www.12stepmusicfest.com. And that is November 5th through the 8th. I'm going in a day earlier. I just firmed up. I'm doing a story with Miami, Fox News Miami, Channel 7 first. They're doing a feature on me and this whole album and the brokenness and the gift of brokenness and the Music Fest. So I'll be doing that a day earlier. And yeah, that'll be fun. They're expecting over 4,000 people again, so that should be really fun.
That's a great area too, the Keys. I love the Keys.
Yeah, well, this is the first year I've gone, so, and everyone says what a wonderful time it is, so I'm really excited about that. And meeting, I'm going to meet a lot of Facebook friends there because, you know, a lot of people from In the Rooms and a lot of other, you know, cool sites that I'm on, and maybe sure a lot that listen to your show, so it should be fun.
I just have to tell a story about the Keys because,
please.
1978, New Year's 1978, I'm drinking in the Keys, and, you know, as was typical for me, I get into trouble. I remember, the last thing I can remember is jumping up on stage to start dancing with a hula dancer, and the next thing I know, I woke up the next day in a dumpster. And all the time in between was missing. So it's about 20 years later, and I'm on vacation down in the Keys, and I decide to go to a meeting. And I thought this would be a funny thing to share with everybody, right? So I raise my hand, and I say, yeah, the last time I was down here, you know, last thing I remember is jumping up and, you know, trying to dance with the hula dancer. And, I guess I scared her, and, you know, the bouncers, I don't know, I woke up in a dumpster. Everybody laughs, and then the next person to share raises his hand and goes, oh yeah, I know who that is. That's Lulu. She's still dancing over at such and such a bar. Now I'm on my ninth step and I'm thinking, oh no, like what luck. What is the half-life of a hula dancer? It can't possibly be 20 years. So off I went to make amends to Lulu. But
yeah.
That was my
Did
last.
Did she remember you?
I got to be honest with you. I could not find her. I couldn't find her. But I made the attempt.
Oh, that's great. Well, if you find her, have her on the show.
Yeah, that would be good. Listen, Laura, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you, Chris.
And I love your music.
Thank you.
Good luck down at the Music Fest. And listen, say hi to our friend Monty. Monty is a good friend of this show.
And, I will.
And please say hi to us. Hi to him for us.
I absolutely will. Thank you so much for the honor.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.